Good morning, welcome to church. That's for my benefit, really, just to make sure I get here on time. 10 seconds to go, quick, down the front. Well, welcome to church. Welcome if you're visiting for the first time, or welcome if you come every week. Isn't it good to be maskless today? Yes. How glorious it is will be to be able to sing and praise God without this thing in front of your phone. It'll be a lovely time. So we are gathering here today. We are here to worship God. We are here to praise and fellowship together. Karen will be sharing the message today, and she'll be talking to us about a guy called Levi and a time when Jesus came and said, "Follow me." But I wonder what it means to follow Jesus.
As far as I can see, obey.
You want to live a life of compassion for others in honor of Jesus, and it means not being ashamed of who you follow, and being willing to stand up and speak about your faith.
Oh, all right, stand up and speak about your faith. Yes, yes. But what does it mean exactly?
Well, for one thing, you're not afraid to admit you're a follower of Jesus, regardless of what people think.
Right, not being afraid to admit. Now, it's not like we don't want to say or do or share that, but look, what happens if we just really don't know how to say or do? Or what do you think?
Look at some he invited to follow, a bunch of fishermen, tax collectors, people with questionable backgrounds. Do you think they knew what to say or do? He placed love in their hearts and courage in their souls. He'll do the same for you. Jesus said, come, listen, learn, care, share, speak from your heart.
Oh, I really like that, Rob. What was it? Come, listen, learn, care, share, speak from your heart.
That's what he promised.
Wow, that's great. I reckon I can give that a try.
All he asks is that you follow closely. When you do, he'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, okay. I think we should pray about that.
Let's do.
Yeah, let's pray. Father God, as we come before you now and into your presence, and we consider what it means to follow you, to follow you closely, to listen as you speak to our heart, I pray that we will have hearts that hear your word, and the courage to step out and follow you and declare you as the one that we follow. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Saviour. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise.
Kids, 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 pretend the music is playing and you're running down the front. Yay! Pardon? Come on down, kids. I know, what am I doing here? I shouldn't be here. I don't do kids' time. Now, remember, don't come to the table, just on the steps.
Wow, isn't there a bunch of them today? So many kids. So many kids. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but just give me a little wink if it's your first time here today. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, okay, a couple of people first time here today. So you want to welcome those first timers? Yeah, nice. Now, we've got a bit of a setup up here. Looks like someone's going to have a dinner party or something later on. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if I'm invited, but anyway, I look forward to that. I don't know what's going on, but I'm curious. Do you guys like to go to parties? Who likes to go to parties? Oh, yeah. Anybody been to a party recently? Tell me about what party you went to.
My friend Taj's.
And what happened there? Was it a birthday party?
Yes.
How old was he?
Seven.
Was it games?
No
games at a birthday party. Or was there fun?
Yes.
I bet you there was food.
Yes.
Yes, you almost always have food at a birthday party. And cake. I went to a birthday party last night. We had food and the lady whose birthday it was, she brought her own cake. She gave everybody cake. She made cake for us. Wasn't that nice of her? It was her birthday and she made cake for us. And we sang happy birthday for her. Anybody else been to a party recently? No? No parties? Well, I tell you who did go to lots of parties. Believe it or not, Jesus. He was always going to parties, always going to dinner at people's places. So many stories in the Bible about Jesus going to parties. Now, what I'm going to get you to do, I'm going to get you to turn around and look at the screen, because I'm going to tell you a time about when Jesus went to a party, and when he was at that party, he told a story. Oh, you can see it up there too. You can watch it up there if you want to, or you can watch it over here, whatever's easiest. All right, so Jesus went to a party. Now, he went to all sorts of people's places. Karen's going to tell us a story about a guy called Levi, who was a tax collector, which some people didn't really like very much. But Jesus was like, yeah, I'll come to your house for a party. But this particular party was with a guy who was an important guy who was called a Pharisee. And we're going to find out about that now, hopefully. Brittany, can you drive that for me? Okay, so one Saturday, Jesus was invited to dinner in the home of an important Pharisee. This was a guy who was important in his village. So what happened? Let me try this. So he said to the host of the meal, that was the guy, he was a Pharisee. We don't know his name. Let's call him Bob. Why not? So he said to Bob, the next time you put on a big dinner like this one, don't just invite your friends and family and rich neighbours, the kind of people who will return the favour. Invite some people who never get invited out. Some people never get invited to parties. They always get left out. And Jesus said, you know, Bob, next time you have a big party like this, invite those sort of guys. And when you do, you'll be and experience a blessing. Now, someone said, hey, that sounds awesome. That reminds me of the time when we're all going to have a big party in heaven one day. And he said, how fortunate the one who gets to eat dinner in God's kingdom. One day when we get to heaven and we get to sit at God's table. And Jesus said, well, it's funny you should say that. Let me tell you a story. And so we told him a story. He said, there was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many people. When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servant to the invited guests saying, come on in, the food's on the table. But they all began making excuses. The first one said, well, I bought a piece of property and need to look it over. Send my apologies. Terribly sorry, can't make it. The next one said, I've just bought 5 team of oxen. That's like a type of cow. It's like you just bought a new car. And I really need to check it out. Send my apologies. Then another one said, well, I just got married and I need to get home to my wife. So none of those guys made it. So the servant went back and told the master what had happened. And the master was outraged. He was upset. He said, how could this be? I've invited these people to this party. And they've all made excuses. Get out quickly into the streets and alleys. Collect all who look like they need a meal. All those who don't fit in. And the homeless. and any stragglers you can lay your hands on and bring them here. So the servant reported back, Master, I did what you commanded, but there's still room. The master said, well, then go out to the country roads. Whoever you find, bring them in. I want my house full. Let me tell you, not one of those who were originally invited is going to get so much as a bite at my dinner party. All right. That was an interesting story that Jesus told them. Were you listening to it? What do you think it meant? What was Jesus trying to tell them? Any ideas? Any guess will do. Any clues? Any ideas? Come on, have a guess. What do you think he meant? Oh, what do you think?
A birthday party?
It was a party, sort of like a party, a birthday party. But who was invited to the party?
Jesus.
No, Jesus hosted the party. I think that's what it means. Jesus said, hey, come to my party. But what happened when he invited some of the people to the party?
The other people had to do stuff?
Yeah, they had excuses. I don't want to come to your silly party. I've got other stuff to do. I've got a new car to check out. So what did the host say? What did Jesus say? If the people I invited first didn't come, we're just going to cancel the party. Is that what he did? No. So what did he do instead?
He invited people that were homeless and they didn't have like houses to live in.
Yep. Homeless people, people who were struggling, anyone and everyone he invited to the party. And the house was full and they had a great party. So I think that Jesus was saying, everyone's invited to my party. Everyone's invited to come and be with me and follow me and come into heaven with me. And all you have to do is say yes. What happened to the guys who said no? Well, they missed out, didn't they? They missed out on the party. So don't miss out. When Jesus says, yes, come to my party, come and follow me, come and be part of the kingdom of God, we just got to say yes. Now, we don't have any kids' church today, but we do have party bags. Party bags. Now, these, Karen has made these party bags up, and in 1 second, I'll get you to come out. Juanita and Karen made these up, and they are all about being creative. Is that right? I am creative. So inside it, you'll find a kids' zone. What else? Is there food in there? Is there things to play and do? Alrighty. And be as creative as you can. And once you finish that, at the end of church, or maybe over morning tea, if you can show someone that you know something you did that was creative throughout church, I think that they will really be looking forward to that. Do you think you can do that? Alright, so come out and grab a bag from Karen. And then go back to your seats. And on the way, one high five. But an air high five. Just one. Pick someone. Just one high five. Only one. That special person. Maybe you save it for down the back. Oh, it's sad he's going to leave some people hanging. Oh, okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks, kids.
We really need music at the beginning and the end of that, don't we? It's like, come down the front, and now it's over. We're moving into community time now. Okay, so, have you heard about COVID? All right, I think that's all I need to say. We are continuing our series on defiance, challenge and awe. And today, our Bible reading plan starts. There was an opportunity to grab one of those as you came in, if you haven't got one yet. It'll go through the whole series. There's a reading for each day, but not for every day. Does that make sense? So 5 of the 7 days of the week, there's a chance to go through Mark and read, but you get a chance to have 2 days off, 2 days to catch up every week. I like that because sometimes you fall behind. So 5 days out of 7. So that will be something very good. And also, there's a chance to join a life group. Now, when Karen talked about life groups last week, someone said, what is a life group? What is a life group? Well, if you think life group, you can think Bible study. You can think small group. You can think home group. So it's a group of people, like-minded people, who want to gather together, maybe weekly, maybe fortnightly, and they will open God's word, they will pray, they will share together, they'll spend some time fellowshipping, there'll be some laughter, there'll be some time to get to know each other. And while we're doing that, we're going to go through Mark together as a church. So if that sounds interesting to you, and you haven't had the chance yet to find out what it means to be part of a life group, see Karen after church, and she will let you know when they are and where they are and how you can connect with the life group as we go through March, as we go through the study of Mark over the next little while. School's back. Kids, school's back. Monday, Tuesday? Monday, really? School's back on Monday. Wow. That maybe Tuesday. I don't know. There might be a pupil-free day. But regardless, on Wednesday, our Learning Hub is kicking off again. So if you've been involved with Learning Hub, please come on Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Next week is Anzac Day, and Anzac Day happens to fall on Sunday. So we will be having a special time in church to reflect and remember what it means for the people that gave up their life serving our country, and for the people that stayed behind, and for all the ripples that sent through everybody at that time. So next week, church will still be on, and we'll have a special section during the service. So on Sunday afternoon next week, we are going to take the bus to GSA down in Brisbane, God Sports Arena. Now, I was going to ask you to see Kevin because he's the bus driver, but Kevin isn't here today. And the bus is getting full, so I'm going to get you to see Karen again. So if your name isn't on the bus and you'd like to come, then please put that down. If the bus is full, we'll take the Kia. If the Kia is full, we'll take our car. So hopefully everyone who wants to go down to Brisbane next Sunday will be able to do that. I'm not sure what time we'll leave, but I'm guessing it'll be around about 2 o'clock because we want to make sure we miss the traffic, or if we factor in the traffic. Who knows? Could be busy, could be not. You don't know when you go to Brisbane. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it just takes forever. Monday the 3rd, which is also a public holiday, I think it's Monday week, the ladies are getting together for Flourish. There is a cost. It is a good time. And I would ask you to see Glenys, but Glenys is not here today as well. So I'm going to ask you to see Karen. Or Jan. No, see Jan. We don't want to give everything to Karen. See Jan if you want to go to Flourish. You want to find out what that's all about. The Red Shield Appeal, have you heard of that? Well, that's happening again. Last year, it was a bit dismal because COVID stopped us doing some of the things that we wanted to do in regard to that. But this year, we are doing things, and it will mostly involve static collections. And James will be leading the charge with that. He's organised a whole lot of places for us to collect. Now, who here can sit? I think everyone can. Who here can smile? Well, almost all of you. Some of you need a bit of work with that one. Who here can say thank you? Well, you are all qualified to collect for the Red Shield Appeal at a static. So when James puts the feelers out and he asks people about that, you're all qualified. So unless you've got a really good reason not to give up a couple of hours, then I think that you can all participate. So that is a great time for us to be involved in the community, to share what we do, but also any of the resources that are given, the very big bulk of that comes back to support our work here, helping people in the community. So it really is worth being a part of. Now, the other thing that we've had the opportunity to do is Bunnings barbecues associated with that. We had one lined up for Caloundra the week before Red Shield Appeal at the end of May. And then Kiwana rang us up out of the blue, Kiwana Bunnings, and said, hey, do you want to do a barbecue? And we went, oh, okay. So we're going to do two Saturday back-to-backs, which is a big ask, but the SAS teams organised by Gary and by John are getting that together. So if your SAS team leader taps you on the shoulder or gives you a ring and say, hey, can you come and help out the barbecues? I would encourage you to say yes. If you're not in the SAS and you want to help out with the barbecues, I would ask you to see Gary, but he's not here. No, see John. So Let John know and he'll let you know how we can ask you to help out with that. Because John and Gary are coordinating that. Oh, SAS is the Salvation Army Emergency Services. So there's a whole lot of teams already trained up with how to cook a sausage. But if you think you already know, then you are most welcome to come along and help us out. So now we are going to have our time of tithes and offerings, giving back to God from our own personal resources. As we do that, we're going to listen to a clip called The Table. And as we reflect on coming to the table of the Lord today, and as you give, I ask that you listen carefully to the words of this song and consider what it means to give to God and to come to his table and receive from him. Thanks.
I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord.
Mark chapter 2 verses 13 to 17, and I will be reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus calls Levi. Then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed Jesus. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But then the teachers of religious laws, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the tax collectors and the other sinners. And they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think that they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners."
Or maybe, you know, the table, a coffee table. Maybe you have one of those tables that is in front of the television, a folding table where you put your dinner tray and you enjoy your dinner, just you and the TV. Or maybe a little round table like this. And the kids did very well, didn't they? There's a pear and grapes and bread and they didn't touch anything. I did tell them it's a bit yucky. The bread's a bit old. But regardless of what your table is always the centre of everything, isn't it? The centre of the home, the centre of our fellowship. Fun around the table, games at the table. And it's where the food is, which makes it very significant. Have food at the table. We say sometimes, if this table could talk, wouldn't it tell lots of tales from over the years? So we're in our second week today, Challenge the Norm, Defiance. And our theme title this week, our title is A Sinner's Party. So we've already set the scene there a little about having a party and having some food. In the reading that Shirley just brought us, thank you, Shirley, we see that Jesus has called this man Levi, and then Levi said, "Let's have a meal at my place." Some type of celebration, some kind of dinner party was going on. Now, unlike me sitting here at this table, it's more likely that Jesus was reclining at the table. So culturally, perhaps there was more of a bench or some kind of a low table. And if you can just imagine Jesus and his friends, Levi, all the people we've heard about, sitting around the table, perhaps it looked a little like this. And over the years, painters have painted things like the Last Supper. They've painted the tax collectors, and they've painted lots of images or made sculptures. We don't really know what it would have looked like. But no doubt the talk was about what had happened through the day. "Jesus, did you see that guy today? Well, that was amazing when you did that." Can you imagine the chatter around the table, what they would have talked about? And maybe that was the time for them to ask the questions. And we have lots of those conversations recorded. Jesus, I don't really know why you did that. Can you explain that to us a bit more? Now, I've got a clip that I want to show you. This is a dramatized version. There's a series called The Chosen, and this was released for television in 2017 as a whole account of the gospel for Christian television. A great thing happened during COVID. People started to binge watch TV series on Netflix and things. And this show had great attention from people around the world. So much so that 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday, series 2 was released, the first episode. So if you get a chance and you've got one of those TV things, which I don't know how to do that, but if you do, or if you have a grandchild or someone else that can tell you how to do that, I'd encourage you to look up The Chosen. Just look up an app. There is an app called The Chosen. So someone can do that. But if you're watching this later, this is for you people who might be watching this on video later, it may be removed due to copyright, but I'm not sure. Anyway, I encourage you to just have a look at this. This is fanciful, made up, but it's based on this story. And Levi in this case is called Matthew.
Next. Matthew. Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to you. What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're gonna throw it all away.
Yes.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew. What's the tablet for?
I grabbed it without thinking. You can put it back.
No, keep it. You may yet find use for it.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
It really helps to get a picture, doesn't it? I love when one of Jesus' disciples says, "Hey, but you don't know him. He's what are you doing, Jesus? Like, don't call this guy. He's a horrible guy," which is quite funny coming from them. But he says, he's different. He said, you were like that when I called you. And he says, he's different. Jesus says this, get used to different. I love that. It's my favorite line. So what is it that Levi was doing? He's a bit hesitant. He walks away. He's not quite sure. But at the same time, he seems that he's really intrigued by this man. And he's captivated. He really wants to follow Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus has already got a group of followers at this stage. And we hear in that verse 15, there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. So when he got to Levi's house, there were many people sitting there. But in that moment, Levi makes a really massive decision. He walks away from what he's expected to do, and he changes his future. Now, a tax collector might be quite rich, and a tax collector who would possibly be less scrupulous had access to other people's money. So maybe that's why he was rich. It's a great job for someone who's good with numbers. However, tax collectors, accountants, people with money are often the brunt of jokes, and I have got this to read to you. The dad says, subtract the peas from your gross adjusted leftovers, add the gravy from line 3 and pass the corn. And the mum says, daddy gets like this at tax time. So we don't know how loved or how hated tax collectors were, but some things haven't changed. There's still a bit of an issue about people and accountants and tax collectors. As a general rule, in first century AD, around this part of the world, they were hated. Now, the Romans, as Tim described to us last week, were cruel oppressors of the Judeans. Levi and his tax collecting friends were kind of a buffer between the Romans and the Judeans. They had access to their own people that the Romans would never have. But at the same time, their actions and just by their association with the Romans, they were separated from their families and there was issues with them being part of their community. And they would have perhaps had restricted access even to go and worship at the synagogue. So here's Jesus acknowledging this man who was rejected and hated, who was despised by his own, and yet Jesus defies the social norms of what is and isn't allowable. He defies the who's in and the who's out list, and he calls Levi. And Levi, in choosing to come away and follow Jesus, he defiantly chooses to leave what is expected of him in the hope of something better, with expectation for a new life. So the guest list here we don't know. Even though we haven't got a list of names, we do know a bit about the people. And that's really significant. That's the whole point of our message today. We see one of Jesus' disciples, as I said, questioning Jesus. And Jesus said that line, which is just from the movie, it's not in the Bible, get used to different. And I think we need to get used to different, get used to defying what's expected of us. So here's some words that were used, different, but also these words, scum. What does Jesus eat with these scum, was in that version today. Sinners, outcasts, people with a bad reputation, tax collectors, and in some of the other meals, though we don't know specifically here, but some of the other meals that we describe, that there were prostitutes also there. So regardless of who they were or what they'd done, all of the guests were welcome at the table. And still today, each of us and everyone here and everyone outside of these walls is welcome at the table. That's a great thing to celebrate, isn't it? There are some other characters in this story that we're going to have a look at. They're not necessarily pleased with what Jesus is saying. As a matter of fact, they beg to differ on what Jesus says most of the time. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? They don't come in and sit down at the table. They hang around outside and they actually address his disciples. Don't you think it's interesting that they don't come inside? They don't come to the table. They stand outside. They're not willing to join. They refuse to be there. They don't want to be defiled by joining these sinners. Yet they're happy to be there to stand outside and to criticise. And we read of that criticism over and over as we read through the Gospels. And as we get through further in this book of Mark, we'll see that often there's that criticism. No wonder Jesus was defiant. Jesus' response to them is this. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know that they are sinners. There's the healthy, the sick, and the doctor. It's clear here to us who he's referring to. That sometimes when Jesus speaks, his message may be a little bit unclear. Sometimes when he speaks in parables, it's hidden. This is very clear to us. The doctor. Jesus is often referred to as the great physician. We think about the healings of Jesus, his miraculous works. And in Luke, Jesus stands in the temple and he reads from the book of Isaiah. He has come to bring good news. He's come to set the captives free. He's come to bring sight to the blind. He's the great doctor, the great healer. Jesus has come to bring us life and life abundantly. He's come to bring healing to body, mind and soul, then, now and in the future. Now, the healthy, although it's really those who thought that they were healthy or say that they're not sick because they see no need for the doctor, but they're actually just as sick as the others, but they won't acknowledge that they have any faults. The Pharisees sadly don't know what they're missing out on. Jesus often has words with the Pharisees. In the book of Revelation, John addresses the Christians in the early church. Now, he's not talking to the Pharisees, but he's addressing that same attitude the Pharisees had there and the early church had. The attitude that makes them what Jesus refers to as the healthy. Says this, you say, I am rich, I have everything I want, and I don't need a thing. You don't realize that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's a bit of a rebuke. And we can easily fall into that trap that the Pharisees did, of thinking that we've got it all together. We're okay, we're healthy, we don't need any fixing. Now, Jesus made his ministry quite strategic. He put himself in the places where people were very aware of their failings. They knew that their need was great and they knew they needed a saviour. These are the people that we see at the table. These are the sick. So how do we see ourselves? Do we know that we need Jesus? Do we know our need for a saviour? Paul writes about this in his letter to the Romans. And he's talking about himself. Paul often calls himself the chief of sinners. I'm a sinner, Paul says. He knew it, knows it. I have discovered this principle of life. And I love this passage. I relate to it a lot. That when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that's still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Good news. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. I am a sinner. I am a slave to sin. And yet, one of the best phrases, I'm a sinner saved by grace. For God saved us, he called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Jesus Christ. He has called us to live a holy life. Jesus is calling us to live a holy life. Knowing that we're sinners, fully aware of our failings, but as victorious Christ followers, who can live a life that's daily transforming, daily becoming more and more like Jesus. Perhaps you find it a little bit off-putting to be referred to as a sinner or scum or different or an outcast. I don't particularly like it. It's not very polite, is it? But Jesus himself, though faultless, was not afraid to be counted among the sinners. Like Isaiah prophesied, God's suffering servant would be numbered among the transgressors. And he would even die like a sinner. And this is how Jesus heals the sick. This is how Jesus accepts the outcast and forgives the sinner. Not only by going to the people and by eating alongside them, but by taking their place. Jesus took our sickness. He was outcast. He became sin for us in our place. And through Jesus' death and his resurrection, we are healed, we are brought near, and we are made righteous in him. So yes, Jesus defied the social norms. He defied the expectations of the religious rulers. He defied the teachers, the Pharisees. Jesus defied the expectations even of those that he called. His plan was bigger than they could even comprehend. And because Jesus did this, we can be part of that great plan. Through Jesus, we are made welcome at the table. We can come just as we are to be at his table. Now, when I was a teenager, my family had an octagonal table, one of those with a round, leg in the middle, and it stretched out. Now, there were six of us, and we sat in order, age order, with my littlest brother round to my oldest brother. And my mum and dad were like bookends, either end of the kids. I think my mum sat beside the youngest to help him, and my dad probably sat beside the oldest to keep him in line. But there weren't many times when that table was just six of us, especially on a Sunday. There were more and more people. And what happened is more chairs were just brought to the table. We'd all shove along further and further, and someone else would sit there at the table. If we ran out of chairs, there were other things that acted as chairs. So we could all join at the table. And the lesson I take from that is there's always room for one more. There's always room at the table. And in God's kingdom, as we had in the story that was for the kids, but it's for us really, isn't it? There's always room for more. So today I want to invite you, where you are, to take a seat at God's great table and to join the banquet, to sit and to be still and to just enjoy the presence of your Heavenly Father. As I said, soak it up in your seat. But if you would like to today, you're welcome to come to this place of prayer. We have a holiness table as well as our mercy seat, just a name, but it's a place to come and to be still and to be quiet before God. If you wanted someone to pray with you today, someone will be there and ready to pray if you stand here. Otherwise, sit, kneel, stay in your seat. Come to him whenever you're weary and heavy laden, for he has promised he gives us rest. Come to him to fill your hunger and to satisfy your thirst. Come and find peace. Come and experience his healing. Now, we listened to this song before, but we're going to listen to it again. And as we do, pay attention to these words. Maybe there's something there that prompts you to seek what God has in store. Ask him. It talks about healing. It talks about peace. It talks about many things. The closing verse of this song says, come just as you are to his table. So as we listen, I invite you to take that time right now to in your place or to physically today, just come to the table.
I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. And I won't hunger anymore at his table. Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden. Table of the Lord. I'm invited to the table of the Lord. He says, come just as you are to his table.
You're invited to the table. We're all invited to the table of the Lord. What a privilege. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love for us that's beyond our understanding. I thank you for your acceptance for us, regardless of who we are, of what we've experienced in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would make our attitudes right in your sight. Lord, that you would help us to come to you, to realize our need for you. Lord, to not be proud or in any way feel that we are beyond any help, feel that we don't need you, because God, we do. Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to us. Lord, help us to invite others to the table. Help us to show your love that you show for us, to show that as we go out through the week with all that we interact with, God. Thank you for your table. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, that you made a way for us to be called your children. Lord, we're blessed. And we just thank you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.